Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Once again, our guest is Philip Tyrone. Philip has been an entrepreneur from the start, buying and selling gold and silver in elementary school, later establishing a car audio resale business in high school. As a mortgage broker, he created 720creditscore.com to help his clients increase their credit scores and improve their financial situation, originally a book and a workbook. The product expanded to become an infomercial, a teleseminar, and an online wealth enhancement course. And Philip, as I mentioned in the first introduction, I consider you a very valuable human being, and I'm glad to be your friend. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Bruce. Glad to be here.
I mentioned off air that I pulled my credit score, and you know, it's just not something that I've seen actually in a long time, because it's been a while since I borrowed money, and so when I was looking at it, one of the things that I was surprised by was one of the comments. It says, one of the negative things that you have is you don't have much credit.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? So I have 40 years of perfect payment history, but now that I don't necessarily have need for credit, that's a negative. That seems backwards to me.
Well, I'll tell you, the problem is with credit. I mean, the credit, I mean, when anyone pulls a credit report, and I get this question all the time, they ask themselves, they look at it, and the first page talks about things you should do to improve your credit.
Right.
And it fundamentally, it makes no sense, because you can get someone with an 800 credit score, that fabulous credit score, and it says you don't have enough credit, or your credit too extended, or whatever. And what they're trying to do is saying, if there was something for us to tell you, here's what we would tell you. But over and over, those are wrong. It just fundamentally does not give the proper picture. And, you know, I mean, like, for example, when someone has a lot of late payments or a short sale or whatever, many times they get the response that says, too many late payments. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, that really helps me. What do I do with it? I know I've been late before in the past.
Well, you know, getting back to my specific one, and it's just kind of a good example, that it says a negative, you have a public record. So I looked at it, and it was a supplemental tax bill, which is the kind of bill that you get after the fact. And when, as you know, I buy and sell houses. So 9 years ago, I sold a house. They mailed the tax bill to that address. I didn't get it. Turned it into a lien. I paid the lien. That's 9 years ago, and it's still on my credit report 9 years later?
Yeah.
Is that going to be with me till the end?
Well, it is a perfect example of errors. And, you know, one of the things we talk about is that there's a key difference that I point out in our program, is the difference between high priority errors and low priority errors.
Okay.
According to a United States Public Interest Research Group, 80% of Americans have an error on their credit report. 80.
Okay.
8 out of 10.
All right.
Okay. I mean, just think about that. Imagine if, you know, you made mistakes 80% of the time, right?
They should They ought to be in the loan modification business. My goodness.
Exactly. So 80% of the time. So what happens is the reality is that's a low priority error for you, Bruce.
Okay.
Because I would imagine being 9 years old is having very low impact on your credit score. And all you need to do is write a letter to the bureaus that are still showing that, and show that it's over 9 years old or over 7 years old, and they'll drop it.
But the computer can't figure that out on its own?
Yeah, they can't. Right? Yeah. No, I mean, you would think, right?
I would think so, yeah.
I mean, it's paid, it's there. I mean, it's just, this is the problem. And this is why I point out high priority and low priority errors, because on low priority, my philosophy, and this is what I teach in our webinar. In the webinar, we teach that there's certain things that just don't ever worry about it. You're never going to have a perfect credit report, and it does not make sense to spend, you know, 10, 20, 30 hours cleaning up errors that are going to have no impact on your life and no impact on your credit score. As long as we get to the credit score you want, that, and you become bankable, That's all that matters.
And is that number still 720?
No, you know what? It depends on the bank. I mean, certain banks, certain car loans, they require for the best interest rate 750. So there's a lot of different factors. And in fact, it's not always like it was in the past where it has to adjust a credit score. They look at what you've done with your credit, which is why if you have a short sale, foreclosure, or a bankruptcy, the first thing you want to do is reestablish your credit after the bankruptcy.
Okay.
And like I said to you offline, I mean, I can take someone that has a bankruptcy, short sale, foreclosure, and literally you can go from whatever the credit score is now to over 720 in 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. It all depends on how quickly you implement the program and where your credit is at this point.
Okay.
But, you know, as I said, you know, we've had 12,000 people go through our program. 12,000. And I continually learn from my students. So I find out, oh, wow, this is working, this isn't working. I continually update it. And that's why we know what works and what doesn't work. And just because you've had a bankruptcy, foreclosure, short sale, does not mean your credit's in the tank for 7 or 10 years.
We were asked to be part of a Riverside foreclosure task force with the city. And in our first meeting, it was one of the things that I said, as they were, a lot of the emphasis was, well, how do we force the lenders to, you know, accept a cram down or reduce principal and stuff? And I said, you know what? I think one of the favors you could do for your citizenry is to tell them there's life after a foreclosure.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? Ultimately, the lenders should have the right to say, well, I'm not getting paid. I signed up for being able to chase the asset. And I think that's what they ultimately probably will do. But if you could tell the people that are on the other end of that, you know what, there's a path back, you will own a home again, I think some people have blown this up that it's like, this is it, man. If I lose this house, it's over. And part of that misinformation comes from realtors.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know either. I speak in front of a group of realtors and talk about a foreclosure. How long does it take before somebody get a loan? 7 years is very common. Never is sometimes said. I mean, this is really what's out there.
Oh, Bruce, it's so sad. And, you know, quite frankly, this appeals to my sense, you know, and yours too. I know we're aligned with this, but it feels so good to be able to give hope to people. This is one of the reasons why I do what I do. Because when I'm on my question and answer sessions with my students, when we're addressing specific questions, and I hear someone say to me, are you sure about this? Like, are you sure I can get a higher credit score? Even with a bankruptcy, because, you know, this isn't about, my program is not about getting this bankruptcy or this foreclosure off the credit report and tricking the bureaus.
Right.
That's illegal.
Right. It's actually what you're doing is saying, okay, we're going to have good credit coexist with your past just as is, and you're going to still end up with the FICO score you need.
Exactly. And Bruce, what we're seeing, we're actually seeing the recovery of credit scores happen faster than they did in the past. And I don't know if what the credit bureaus are doing or if they're doing anything, but all I know is I'm seeing a quicker jump in a person's credit score than I've ever seen before. I mean, it is so exciting. Maybe it's because so many of the people have a poor credit score that the bureaus are looking at this and saying, you know, maybe the logarithms are saying, hey, the average credit score has gone down so much. It's just, you know, when you reestablish and do the right thing, you get a bigger quick tick. I don't know exactly why, but I'm seeing it happen, and it is exciting.
You know, one of the things that just drives me crazy, I walked into B of A, and I happened to look at their mortgage rate for 30 years, and it was 3.75 or something, 3.75. And it was just a number that I just never thought I'd see, okay? So I happened to ask, what is your rate for non-owner occupant loans? And so I went in, I talked with the lady, and then looking at my stuff, she says, yeah, we can do 4 loans for you. And that's it. And I said, well, there are programs that'll let you do 10. She says, our bank has what they call an overlay, and we can't do that. An overlay is a bank preference that sometimes trumps what Fannie, Freddie, or FHA will do. And I think that's one of the most detrimental things in the housing market right now, is unnecessary overlays. FHA, for instance, we interviewed them on this same radio show for the whole purpose of asking this question. How long after a BK or a foreclosure will you consider doing a loan? The answer, directly from them, 6 months. So if you could have a FICO score improve like what you're talking about, and FHA willing to loan to that person, the problem is I'm not sure there's a lender out there that will do it. And that's really a very big mistake.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very, very frustrating. I mean, that's exactly it. But what it does do, Bruce, is when you're going into owner financing or different things like that, obviously, especially with when you're dealing with an owner, they look at this and say, wow, this guy had a foreclosure, but he's already at a 750 credit score.
Yeah.
I mean, that's significant.
I don't think it's very common. So, you know, this is the thing. We're not really talking about someone. If someone sits down with me and says, okay, well, I have a 720 FICO score, but I just lost a house 8 months ago, I would think, okay, well, that's just really strange. But you're able to accomplish that legitimately. So when you're sitting in front of, let's say this person is actually sitting in front of a lender with a 720 FICO score and a bankruptcy or a foreclosure 8 months ago, when those two worlds collide, which fact do they look at? Do they look at the FICO score and say, okay, well, in this instance, that's going to trump the recent problem? What do they do?
Well, I can tell you just from what I hear from my clients is if you're going to traditional lenders, Bank of America, you know, Fannie Mae lenders,
yeah,
the credit score does not trump the bankruptcy. They're going to look at this and say, sorry, you can't lend for 2 years, 3 years, whatever their current guidelines are. Which obviously are always subject to change. You just never know what those guidelines are. I mean, there may be, they may pass a law that says, hey, we're loosening the guidelines to stimulate the real estate market. But who knows on that, right? But when you're dealing with small credit unions and small regional banks, they make decisions based on their loan committee. And then when you're dealing with, like I said, owner financing, that's the easiest hurdle to judge. You can just say, hey, I've had a bad experience. I got hurt in the market, but let me show you what I've done.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. There's a two-tiered system. One, if you have a 720 FICO score, all's well. And one, if you have one, oops. It's just interesting that can exist simultaneously, but I guess nothing surprises me. You know, when I got back from Washington, D.C., and having had the privilege to sit in front of Fannie and Freddie, I was comforted to know that there would always be a need for private money because of just the way the decision process is. Sometimes
very bureaucratic.
Sometimes sure. Lacking, common sense. Most people, you know, they start really pretty innocently trying to figure out, okay, I've got a problem. I'm upside down. I'm going to call my lender and see what to do. And somebody inside goes, you know what? We're not even going to talk to you until you stop making your payments.
Oh, yeah.
So they comply. Bad idea?
You know what? Here's what I've learned over the past 3-4 years is I don't speak about the morality of your credit score because I've seen unbelievable people that have had bad credit for numerous reasons, you name it, right? And so here's what I know. What I teach is how to recover from a poor credit score. And I look at the credit score as just a tool. And the reason why this is where this big shift happened for me. And this was about 3 years ago. So 3 years ago, 2 years ago, right before I left for Paris, a year and a half ago, I was, I had this loan with this regional bank, right? And it was a personal loan and I was in the mortgage business. My mortgage business had gone down 90%, never missed a payment. And I was just Johnny on the spot. They sent me loan documents and they said, we need to re-sign these loan documents. I said, great. I looked at the loan documents and they were, there was a $495 processing fee. And this was just my yearly renewal. There was nothing else about it, right?
Right.
And I had asked numerous times, hey, guys, can you give me a break? I'm in the mortgage industry. Sorry, can't do anything. And I got to tell you, I just felt so taken advantage of. I was one of the lenders that kept paying right? I have numerous friends and people who owned mortgage companies that just said, see ya, and they did their own thing and, you know, went on their own way. So I was so frustrated in the heat of the moment. I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm not signing. They're like, what do you need? I said, I'm not signing this because I think you're being unreasonable. I've asked for a break in payment. I've asked for a break in interest rate. And no, you keep saying no, no, no. And now you're giving it to me on a $495 processing fee. Oh, sir, we'll have that waived. I said, no, you know what? I'm done. And so I went to Paris. I came back and we got, so I just didn't pay the payment. Right? And I missed 1 month, I missed another month, and then they sued us. And it was ugly. Okay, I'm going to tell you, ugly. Oh, no, by the way, let me go back for this a second. They said, but you can't miss your payments. You teach on credit scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let me tell you, I teach on how to raise a credit score. I don't talk about the morality of making a decision that's not fair or whatever I said. I said something to that effect. Right?
Okay.
So they sued me. And let me tell you, it got ugly. And when I talked to my attorney, and the attorney said, Phil, you couldn't be in worse shape. Like, don't ever sign this agreement like this again. Start calling me ahead of time. And they sued my wife, and they sued us. They were serving us at home. And it was just, I've never felt so dirty in my life.
Mm.
And so then, basically, we just negotiated it out. And in the end, you know, 6 months later, I paid 25 cents on the dollar, and they reported it paid as agreed. And there was no logic, because what I said to the lady 6 months prior is, I'll pay. I mean, I don't want to walk away from this loan. Just be reasonable with me. Give me a sort of break while I'm getting on my feet. And there was none of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up paying 25 cents on dollar, and the reported paid as agreed. And so that's where, you know, my shift really happened when I got treated that way personally. So I guess, you know, from my perspective, I don't look at I look at a credit score as a tool that you use. And I don't say that because I don't think you should pay your bills. I'm not saying that. I say what I'm trying to describe is there's certain situations that you're in that times change and you got to make a decision, you know. And so when someone walks away from a home, or going back to your first question, when the bank says stop paying your mortgage, you have to make a decision what's right for the family.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment. And the decision I made, I felt was right for my family, and it worked out. Sometimes, obviously, it can turn out in foreclosure and stuff like that. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's where how I think when someone says, do I miss the payment? I just say you have to make a decision that's right for you and the payment.
I think my original emphasis was there's sometimes that people are giving advice behind the scenes that might not understand there's ramifications outside of, you know, just, you know, an attempt to put some pressure on the lender. You know, one of the things that has been a good change is that you have lenders now seemingly willing to do short sales without you having to be late, which, you know, makes a lot more sense.
Oh, it sure does.
Yeah, and so because they finally figured out, and this is not because of the goodness of their hearts. It figured out a long time ago that if the lender's doing it, it's in their best interest. So they finally figured out doing a short sale was in their best interest. So credit damage-wise, is there an easier path back from a short sale than a foreclosure?
It's a great question. So here's the bottom line of that is how many times were you late before the short sale or foreclosure? So, for example, if you did a short sale and you were late, you know, no times or one time or two times or three times and no notice of default was filed, then it's going to be easier to recover. If you had a notice of default filed, you had a foreclosure, there's just more negative marks stacked up against you. But either way, it doesn't matter. I just want to make that clear to everyone listening. It doesn't matter if you have a 500 credit score. I don't care if you had four short sales and four foreclosures and a bankruptcy yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You can recover.
Okay.
I mean, that's the good news. The good news is I don't care how bad you think your situation is. It's not that bad. As screwed up as the credit system is, the good part is it looks at new credit much better, or which much more weighted. It weights it. And the weight on new credit is so much stronger than old credit. and even old bad marks. We can recover that. It does not matter how bad it is.
So that's why the urgency to, okay, all this has happened to you. The best thing you can do is get one positive or two or three positives to show up on your credit as soon as possible.
Yeah, the best thing you could do is get an action instantly. I'm talking instantly, right after the event happened, and start reestablishing credit from the beginning, like you have no credit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. You know, Bruce, we have a webinar that we give absolutely free, and we have them numerous times during the week. And if you go to 720creditscore.com, 720creditscore.com, there's going to be a box that pops up with a free download. Sign up for the download, and it's going to invite you to the webinar. And you can pick the time and the time you want, and it's going to give you so much information. And my webinars are really designed to educate you, and you can either do one of two things. You can take the information and run with it yourself, which is fine, spread the word, or you can, you know, enroll in our program, and we can handhold you the entire time.
I remember seeing something on your website, but I was a little unclear what it was. Operation Hope, what's that?
Well, Operation Hope was a conference I was invited to go to for low-income, it's basically Operation Hope is a low-income financial literacy program.
Okay.
And they had an event in Washington, D.C. that I went to, and I was just trying to spread the word because, you know, the sad thing is people who are, you know, who are tight financially, I mean, they're the ones that really get taken advantage of by the credit. I mean, someone who is making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, if they're overpaying $200-$300 a month, big deal.
Right.
But if you're making, you know, $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, and you can't, and you're overpaying $200 a month, which happens all the time. I mean, my average client is overpaying $302 a month, average.
So $3,600 a year in stuff that's very unnecessary.
Very unnecessary. It's just because they're not playing the game according to the rules. That's it.
You know, and I think, we only have a couple minutes left, but it's interesting is that you don't really have to like the rules, but you better know them. Because I got to tell you, some of the rules don't make any sense to me, but that's immaterial. Because if I don't have the right number of credit cards or the right balance on those credit cards, my FICO score is going to get affected, isn't it?
Oh, without a question. I mean, you are going to, whether you like it, you are going to be you're being judged by a set of criteria, whether you like it or not. You might as well, you know, put on the glasses so you know what it is.
Might as well figure out what the criteria is.
Exactly.
One of the things that surprised me when Marsh and I had discussion, I forget exactly the year, it was probably 04, 05, is to pay off all the stuff that we had in real estate, and my FICO score went down. And I remember thinking, I didn't think that would happen. That didn't make any sense to me.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's the problem. That's the sad thing. I mean, logically, there is no logic sense.
Yeah, and that's...
It makes no logic sense.
I think it'd be... I guess I'm in the business. You'd think I would be pretty knowledgeable. Honestly, about this subject, I draw a blank because some of the things that matter, I would think, okay, I don't know why that matters. And some of the things that I would think matter, like assets or income, don't matter at all.
Yeah.
So that's...
You know, and that's, once again, logic makes no sense. I mean, you would think that someone that has, you know, $10 million in the bank $10 million in the bank and have $10 million a year in income would naturally have a higher credit score, but it doesn't. I mean,
yeah,
not
well,
at all.
If nothing else, as a lender, you go, okay, well, at least there's a cushion to fall back on. Philip, we're out of time. We've got 20 seconds left. Go ahead and give your website one more time, please.
It's 720creditscore.com, 720creditscore.com. And like I said, there's an absolute free webinar you can sign up for. Just sign up for the free report on the website, and then it'll take you to the registration page. And it's absolutely free, and you get tons of knowledge on it. And
Phil,
Bruce, I appreciate the opportunity.
Philip, thanks so much for joining us.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.